Item number 36, first time certain.
Authorize new construction financing in an amount not to exceed $4.5 million for construction of the North Williams Center, a 61-unit affordable housing project.
Colleagues, apropos to the public testimony we just heard, I'm very proud to bring forward 60 additional units of affordable housing that's going to be added to the city's affordable housing stock. As you've heard me say on behalf of the Housing Bureau a number of times, this last year in 2018, we delivered a record number of affordable housing units to the city of Portland. We expect that in 2019, we will nearly double that. This is one of the first that we'll be undertaking this year. This project today will contribute to the overall Northeast housing strategy, which the community brought forward to the city of Portland. The community requested this. And I want to particularly thank our partner, Multnomah County, in contributing the site for this development and Bridge Housing on their third affordable project here in the city of Portland. And with that, I'll turn it over. Shannon, are you kicking us off today?
I am.
Director Callahan.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Shannon Callahan of the Portland Housing Bureau. I am here this morning to ask for your approval for the construction financing of the North Williams Center, a new 61-unit development to be developed, as we've heard, by Bridge Housing. In the fall of 2015, the Housing Bureau, along with Home Forward and Multnomah County, released this property for development, and Bridge Housing was the winner of that development proposal and has been working with the community and the Housing Bureau since then to bring this project to fruition. The North Williams Center is located on the corner of North Williams and Tillamook. It will provide permanent affordable housing and homes to 195 new residents. 194 new residents. The North Williams Center will provide deeply affordable homes for 40 households, households who make less than 30% of the median family income. Lease-up of the building will also be subject to the city's preference policy, which prioritizes families with generational ties to North and Northeast Portland. It's the sixth of the city's rental properties to be moved forward into the construction phase or opened that are subject to the North and Northeast preference policy. And the center will also provide 10 units of supportive housing for households who need the services to be successful in their housing and beyond. The joint office is working closely with both the Portland Housing Bureau and Bridge Housing to make this a reality, and I'd like to thank them for stepping in to offer both service and operating support to make sure that this building is successful and is home for 10 households moving off the street out of homelessness. Before I turn it over to the team at Bridge to say a few words, I'd just like to note that we expect construction to start this spring, actually in March of this year, and construction is expected to be complete by May of next year, welcoming 194 new residents into permanent affordable housing.
Jane. Shannon, before you turn it over, could you go back one slide?
Sure.
I just have to point this out. I mean, this is affordable housing. And look at that. I mean, that is architecturally, in my opinion, stunning. And I think it's great that we're not only doing the right thing here by way of very low-income people in our community, we're actually providing them an amazing place to call home. That looks great. And I just want to applaud our partners for that. Thank you.
Shannon, two questions.
Commissioner Fish.
First is, what was the secret sauce that allowed you to, in this development with 61 units, to set aside 10 units for supportive housing? Because that's both in the aggregate, it's a big number, but as a percentage of the overall, it's a big number. So how were you able to accomplish that?
Well, there are 40 units in this building that are supported with long-time rent subsidy through vouchers. And so permanent supportive housing requires, you know, three basic pieces of funding to make it work. One is rent subsidies to make sure that we're buying down rents for the folks who need it the most, the very low-income folks, folks who may have zero or very little income. The second is making sure that we have operating support to make the building successful. When you have a number of individuals who require support services, it also usually requires additional operating support to the building by way of on-site resident managers or additional property management support. And thirdly, it's the service funding that comes presently from the joint office. And this building presented some unique opportunities with the fact that it had so many voucher units in it. And the joint office is able to program the additional operating support this building will need to be successful, as well as providing the support services. So it's just the perfect mix of all three of the three-legged stool that we need to make permanent supportive housing work.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Kim McKay with Bridge Housing, and I'm very pleased to be here. And
good morning, Kim. You could move that mic closer.
Is it closer? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yes.
So actually, I would just like to open it up to further questions that you guys may have. And we, I'm here with Dustin Ferdin, who is our senior PM on the project. And I would say kudos to our staff for working very closely with the community over the last few years. We feel that we have a lot of support there, and it's been a very, very rewarding relationship to ensure that we have a project that is both beautiful but also will meet the needs of the immediate local community. So please, any questions you have, we're here to answer.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Kim, I have a question, which might seem like a strange question. There's one unregulated unit out of 61 units.
Why?
Why?
That's our manager unit.
Oh.
So rather than restricted, it allows us.
Okay, that makes sense.
This is Bridge's third project, is that right?
Correct.
So my recollection, because I think I was the housing commissioner at the time, was the first one was in the Pearl District.
Correct.
And the second one you did was?
We have River Place under construction
which is
right
under
now.
Under construction.
Correct.
So this is your third. And what particular, and I know Bridge does work up and down the coast, and you have quite a track record. What specific expertise does Bridge bring to managing the units, the 10 units of supportive housing, and also making sure that the people who are in deeply subsidized units feel welcome in the community?
Well, it's a great question, and I'm happy to say we have a lot of experience with mixed-income housing, which is basically what this is. Most communities that we're developing in now have a requirement that in addition to the affordable housing, up to 60% AMI, that we include a percentage, and it varies in every jurisdiction, of permanent supportive housing or special needs housing or homeless housing. And so our management, we self-manage most of our properties and take that commitment and obligation very, very seriously. And so it is, as Shannon alluded to, we do underwrite to meeting the service needs of the special population, and it's strong management. So I would, you know, welcome all of you to come see both the properties we have in Portland, and if you're out of town, to come see some of the other mixed-income properties we have. But examples, you know, Parcel 3 has a number of PSH units. The Abigail doesn't, but we have a number of properties in the Bay Area where they're actually even heavier, you know, a much larger population, and they've been very successful.
And does Bridge currently have a physical presence here in Portland?
We
do. Have you opened an office?
We do. We have an office that's here in downtown, and we have a staff of five professional development staff. Our accounting staff is here. IT is here. And we're looking at bringing property management up into the market this year.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Very good. Public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have six people signed up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Should we say here or go?
No, you can go ahead, and we might bring you back if there's follow-up questions based on testimony.
Okay. The first three, please come on up, are Edith Gillis, Lightning, and Shedrick Wilkins.
Good morning.
I'm hoping that you're feeling my love and commitment today, because I'm going to be here all day. What I want to say is please, in your figuring of affordable rent, have it be the same percentages of income distribution in the city of Portland as in new multiple unit housing. So if there are 100 units and 30% of the people in the city of Portland make under or have under $10,000 a year, have one-third of one-twelfth of that be their monthly cap on rent, et cetera.
Edith, can I just make a comment? Thank you for that admonition. If we followed that logic in this project, we'd woefully underperform. And I just think we should acknowledge that 40 of the 60 units here are being set aside for people that make between 0 and 30% of median family income. So we are talking about people who are typically served by either Home Forward or by project-based sponsored units. So this greatly outperforms even the standard that you've articulated?
I misspoke. I meant to say a minimum of that low income being available.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity XX1 PDX. Bridge, you're right on the mark. Very impressive work. You stayed in with the threshold of the 30% AMI and below for the 40 units. But what I really like about your project is that you also were sensitive to the square footage size of the units, very livable units. And as you know, instead of going to these micro units, people want to stay long-term in good-sized square footage units. I think you hit everything here. Very impressive work, and I hope to see you get many more contracts and projects. Now, speaking just for myself, not to Bridge directly, being a Bridge loan, or construction loan, I'm sorry, here, will that loan be repaid in the future? Again, some of the problems I have on these type of deals is I like to have a due on sale clause in the future, maybe to pay back this type of loan, even if it's 20 years in the future. I like to see that, and I know that's up for debate. Issue number two on the Multnomah County property, I want to have the city of Portland pay full fair market value for that and to fund Multnomah County. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to contact CBRE. I'm going to have an appraisal done on that piece of land. I want Multnomah County to receive full value for that, again, for their services that they provide at Multnomah County. No discounts. Again, just for my own use, I like to see the overall price stated on these ordinances. I like to see the overall unit price. Again, the building looks fantastic. Everything I see here is within the parameters of the way it should be done. Again, on the sustainable housing units, I'd like to see a more detailed plan on how that will be paid for, where the sustainable money will come from to pay for that. And as you know, I'm projecting maybe $1,000 per month per unit additional value price to that. Again, that's up for debate. I'd like to see the numbers. I'd like to understand the services provided to these people. But again, this looks very impressive. Get more contracts. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you very much.
I haven't since Christmas. I believe that Northeast Portland is the only place where homeless people or people who are disadvantaged can go. You did not make the Terminal 1 shelter. You have not yet built the Pearl District shelter, which is right near my HUD apartment at Yards. I was going to volunteer. I'm very disappointed. When I was homeless in 2011, there was a mass medical thing at the Memorial Coliseum. Commissioner Novick mentioned the Memorial Coliseum as a mass place to put sheltered people. I agree. I'm a veteran. I'm supposed to protect this country and protect people who are sick or cold or whatever. And just the basement has a large area. The area of least resistance, you banged around Right to Dream 2. Where did you put it? Right across the street from the Memorial Coliseum. Okay. I was born at Emmanuel Hospital, which is in North Portland, because my father was a low-income Nabisco employee. Yet we didn't live there. We lived near the airport. There's a lot of racism in Portland, and I side with the fact that the best place to help low-income people is North Portland and nowhere else, because, again, you see people on the sidewalk, you see people on the street in tents, and you herd them into the north-northeast area. And since people of color are been oppressed, they might have the sympathy for low-income white people. You won't see it from anybody else. So I like the Memorial Coliseum as a large shelter, since you failed to make anyone any place else. I agree with Commissioner Hardesty. There is a rule about yelling fire in the theater. I think people like Mr. Davis and Joel Walsh, this isn't a church. You don't say 50 times to make your point across. Even though we have freedom of speech, I think Mr. Davis and Joel Walsh should be banned from here for a month.
Excuse me. This is not your call. You are not the presiding. Excuse me. You're going to have to stop.
Not you.
We'll take a read.
My clock.
Ban him for a month.
Ban you for a month.
You're
making your own argument.
You're off the subject.
No, I'm not. Okay. You just cut me off. I'm up here talking.
You're just the subject.
Hey.
It goes for everybody, even white people.
You're right. He's wrong. Just wait a minute.
I'm right. Follow the Constitution.
Senator, come back up and finish your
call. Oh, does it?
Come back.
Oh, I got 34 seconds left. Oh, really?
I might even give you 10 minutes. Just for being a good sport.
He was wrong. No.
He was wrong. That's correct.
This is not a church. I mean, I think our founding fathers didn't want a state religion. I mean,
Senator, one moment. We'll be back in session, please. We're now back in session. After a brief interruption, continue, please, Senator. Thank you.
Well, he cut me off, so it is the topic here. I was talking here. He cut me off because I mentioned the fact that I don't know if it relates to it. He was cutting me off, so I couldn't talk, so whatever. Right? So it does relate. So certainly if somebody has a view here that's not popular, you have no right to cut them off. It's like yelling fire in a theater, which the Supreme Court deals with that.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here.
Whatever.
Next three, please.
Are Maggie, Stephen, I believe the last name is Long, and Mary Sipe.
I see Mary Stephen here. Very good.
Long, Maggie, maybe Lang, Stephen Lang on Lincoln, okay. Southwest Lincoln.
Oh, you can reset
the timer. Okay. I'm going to criticize here, and the reason I'm going to do that is because I see elderly people out on the street every day who have Alzheimer's, dementia, are incontinent. I see bipolar people. I see people who have schizophrenia, and you're still going to warehouse them in shelters where there's all this environmental noise, and the shelters are like a jail. The bathrooms are broken. The staff are like factory workers. They steal from the homeless, disabled people in there. And they're elderly homeless on the street who are incontinent and have Parkinson's. And they've been exited from their housing units, and they won't go into shelters because they get bullied and their stuff gets stolen, and none of these affordable housing units are going to take these people. They're cherry picking the people who have the least disability and the most Social Security income, and that's who's going to get in there. And none of these people who've got mental health issues, who've got Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, who are incontinent, there's no supportive housing that's being built for them. They're all warehoused in shelters that have human rights issues with noise, industrial noise, entertainment noise. They've got emphysema. They've got asthma. They've got you know, all the mental health, they're sick all the time. There's MRSA, bed bugs, lice. There's no laundry facilities in these shelters. There are no laundry facilities that work. I mean, it took me 4 hours to do one load of laundry because the spinner and the one washer and the one dryer, the spinner doesn't work, and the dryer takes 2 hours to dry one load of laundry. And how many hundreds of people are in that building who have to compete for that one washer and one dryer, and then they have a scheduling. So, this affordable housing thing is for people who are able-bodied. It's not going to help anybody who's got, supportive needs issues. It's not going to help anyone who's out on the street and living in a tent and refusing to go into a shelter and disabled.
So, Maggie, let me just stipulate what you said so we can talk about this particular project. This particular project actually includes 10 supportive units. So it is for exactly...
10 is like a drop in the bucket of an ocean.
For those 10 individuals, it means the world. And I take what you're saying as a challenge to scale it up, do more of these kinds of projects, find the resources to make it happen, and I think we're in agreement on that.
Supportive housing, I think there are two types of people. When I say that, there are types of people who can't make it through the night and need 24-hour care, and there are those who can make it through the night and need day services every day. And you're not housing those people.
Well, we actually are, but thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
I disagree. I see them on the streets every day.
And it's your right to disagree. Thank you.
Good morning.
My name's Mary Seip. As you know, I've been here for the last 2 years almost every week, and I've often spoken in support of the affordable housing projects. I live in one of the projects, the Sitka. In fact, when I was looking at the pictures of this new project, I was thinking, gee, this looks a lot like the Sitka. I do want to, with all due respect, I do want to kind of correct some things that Maggie was talking about. Shelters are temporary emergency. Mm-hmm. Methods. And we can build all the shelters in the world, but if we don't start building the affordable housing that we need to have a place for people to transition into, it's not going to make any difference what we do in terms of the emergency shelter. I would encourage people, I've said this before, the term affordable housing is, a lot of people don't really understand what it is. This is a Section 42 tax credit housing, and I'd encourage people to go look this up and understand how this works. It's income restricted. I would also correct some of the things that Maggie said. The building I live in is probably 90% disabled. People on Social Security disability, myself on Social Security, a lot of people on SSI, $700 a month, living in units that are clean, comfortable, and affordable in the realm of their income. We need more of this, and I want to applaud the city and the county for what they've been doing for the last 2 years in really pressing forward with more affordable housing. It is kind of interesting, Mayor Wheeler, when you said, when you commented about the architecturally pleasing design. I think one thing I would like to suggest, Bridge Housing, I'm so excited. When they came to Portland and built the Abigail, when you see what they've done in other cities across the country, it's pretty phenomenal, the work that they've done and how they've made their focus affordable housing. I would like to suggest that maybe, and perhaps they already do this, that they form sort of an advisory group of people living in affordable housing and get some feedback from them about where there could be some improvements.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. One of the things that all of the units that in our building and in other buildings around, we don't have air conditioning. And it's really oppressive sometimes. And if you don't have $600 to go buy a portable air conditioning unit, you're suffering in our now hotter summers. I'd suggest, you know, look at putting the portable units in. I also want to give a shout out to Bridge Housing. I want to thank them. When they were before they started building the Abigail, I contacted them, and they voluntarily agreed to scrap their plans to use the impact hammer and use the auger drill. And I hope that they will continue to do the same with other projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. We appreciate your perspective, as always. Thanks for coming in. Does that complete public testimony, Carla?
Yeah, if Stephen Long isn't here, that would be all.
Mr. Long, are you here somewhere? Very good. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
The comment was made, this is a drop in the bucket, and I always think of how do you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's each unit makes a difference to the person who's going to be in it and to the people who will be in it for the next 99 years. So congratulations for this project. It's really great. Aye.
I'm very pleased to support this. A Bridge has demonstrated that they're a good community partner. There's a good leverage. That is, the public resources here is leveraging lots of other funds from other sources to allow us to stretch the dollar. And then I don't remember the last time we had a project come before us where the units were so deeply subsidized. We should give a special shout out to Home Forward, because these project-based vouchers would not happen without them, but they allow us to keep 40 of the 61 units at below 30% of MFI. So we're meeting really where the crushing need is in our community, and I applaud the developer for finding a way to finance this project. Thanks to the Housing Bureau for bringing this forward. Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I'm very pleased to see this project moving forward. It advances two top priorities for the city. One is increasing our affordable housing stock, and two is adopting sustainable building practices that are going to help us meet our climate goals moving forward. I also want to thank Bridge City for not sacrificing aesthetics and quality. This is a really good-looking building, like the mayor pointed out, and in fact, I'd say it's a more attractive building than many of the market and luxury rate buildings going up in that neighborhood. Thank you, Mary Wheeler, the Portland Housing Bureau, Barings Multifamily, U.S. Bank, Metro Bridge, Meyer Memorial Trust, Prosper Portland, and Oregon Housing and Community Services for all your work on this, and of course, Multnomah County for contributing the site. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
That list, Commissioner Udaly just listed. Thank you to everybody on that list. This is truly an exceptional partnership. This is just one more demonstration of what we can get done when we all pull in the same direction. Thank you, Director Callahan, for your leadership in particular. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you, everyone.